Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also the Greek. It is written, for I make known unto you, brethren, as touching the gospel which was preached by me, that it is not after men, for neither did I receive it from men, nor was I taught it, but it came to me through revelation of Jesus Christ. It is written, but though we or an angel from heaven should preach unto you any other gospel than that which we have preached, let him be anathema. It is written, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
For God is just a prayer away.
And to you that are afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with the angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God, and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord, and from the glory of his might, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be marveled at in all them that believed. Imposture shrinks from light and dreads the curious eye, but sacred truths the test invite, they bid us search and try. Oh, may we still maintain a meek, inquiring mind, assured that we shall not search in vain, but hidden treasures find. With understanding blessed, created to be free, our faith on man we dare not rest, we trust alone in thee. And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I heard a preacher many years ago who had only one sermon to preach, they said. And that sermon he called the gospel. People got tired of hearing the same old topic all the time and asked him if he could preach on something else besides the gospel. The gospel, the gospel, the gospel. He said, I can preach on anything, just name it. Somebody said, well, preach us a sermon then on pills. So when he preached his next message, he began by saying, brethren, my message today is on the subject of pills. There are blue pills and red pills. There are big pills and little pills. There are long pills and short pills. In fact, there are all kinds of pills, but my favorite pill of all the pills is the gospel. And then he preached the same old subject he always preached. Now today, the message will be on the gospel. Gospel means good news. Not only is the gospel good news, it is the best news you will ever hear. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The importance in the preaching of the gospel is that Jesus wants everybody to hear it. Jesus wants every member of every race, in every country, of every generation, in all other religions, to hear the gospel. Jesus is intolerant of all other religions. He said, no one cometh unto the Father but by me. Just as sure as the Lord said what he meant and meant what he said, as far as he is concerned, if you expect to go to heaven, it is Christ or nothing. And since he wants everyone to hear the gospel is of tremendous importance. The gospel is of overpowering importance, because in the desire, in the heart, in the mind, in the conscience of the Lord Jesus Christ, he could tell the apostles, go and preach this gospel to every creature. So how important the preaching of the gospel must be. Ladies and gentlemen, for the next few minutes, let us talk about the gospel. Let us talk about the power of the gospel, then the preaching of the gospel, the plan of the gospel, the promises of the gospel, the practice of the gospel, and finally, the praise of the gospel. So first of all, consider the power of the gospel. The gospel is a powerful idea. Think of the effect of Jesus on the world. We count the years of time by the one who is eternal. Every millennium, century, decade, month, week, hour, minute, second is measured by the one who is from everlasting to everlasting, the one who is without beginning of days or end of life, the Ancient of Days. It is axiomatic that every effect must have a cause, and the cause must be big enough for the effect. The effect of Jesus on time alone makes us ask, how could this be? What is the secret of his power? The water that falls off your roof will never produce the electrical power of Niagara Falls. The cause is not big enough for that effect. The newborn babe could not knock out the heavyweight champion. The cause is not big enough for the effect. The light of a candle will not turn the darkness of midnight into the brightness of high noon. The cause is not great enough for the effect. It was not a handful of firecrackers that America dropped on Japan to end World War II. That cause would not have been big enough for the effect. The only power that can measure up to the effect of Jesus on this planet is the power of the death conquering Christ. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the only power that will keep people out of hell, and the only power that will keep the hell out of people. This is the power of the gospel of which Jesus spoke when he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The power of the gospel. Now a word about the preaching of the gospel. Paul defines the preaching of the gospel when he says that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now, when you hear someone preach that Jesus died for our sins, you are hearing the gospel. Not only that, but he said that he was buried. The significance in the fact that he was buried is the fact that he was dead. The enemies of Jesus would never have allowed him to be taken down from the cross if he had not been dead. You see, they break the legs of the first and the other one that were crucified with him. But when they saw that he was dead already, they did not break the legs of Jesus. But there was one soldier there. They did not take any chances. He took his spear and rammed it into his side. No doubt he thought to himself, if he isn't dead, he's dead now. That body they took down from the cross was a lifeless corpse. It was a dead body they laid in the tomb. They made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and the guard being with them. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the gospel. When you hear someone preach that Jesus died and was buried and that he arose from the dead on the third day, according to the scripture, you have heard the gospel. That is the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And Jesus said, go and preach that. Peter set the example on the day of Pentecost when he preached the first message after the resurrection. When he said, ye by the hands of lawless men did crucify and slay, whom God raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, for it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Peter has set the example, and we follow in his train today by preaching to you the fact that Jesus died for your sins, he was buried, and he arose the third day. Ladies and gentlemen, that preaching is the most important thing in the world today because Jesus said, "Go tell everybody, in every country, in every generation, in every clime, of every race, of every religion, tell them that I died and was buried and I rose again the third day." That is the power of the gospel and the preaching of the gospel. Now a word about the plan of the gospel. That gospel must be preached. According to Matthew, Jesus told the apostles, "All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." That is the command that was given. Jesus not only said to go and teach it, he said, "I want you to baptize them who believe in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you something. Anything that we have been told to do into the name of all three members of the Godhead is of paramount importance. When I take the Lord's Supper, I remember what Jesus did. When I pray in Jesus' name. But when I baptize a person, I baptize him into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, into the name of all three members of the Godhead. This is the only thing we have ever been told to do. In the name of all three members of the Godhead. I heard a preacher on the media one time say he would give a 5-story hotel with 5 maids and 5 butlers and a brand new car to anyone who would write in and show him where anyone was ever baptized into the name of all three members of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, I am prepared to double the offer. I will give a 10-story hotel with 10 maids and 10 butlers and 2 new cars to anyone who can read the 28th chapter of Matthew and prove that Jesus never commanded baptism to be done in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now Jesus said one time, "I and the Father are one." Some folk today believe that term Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are 3 names for the same person, namely Jesus. Therefore, they say, when a person is baptized in the name of Jesus, that is the same as Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Actually, they are one, and yet there are 3. At the baptism of Jesus, we notice all 3 members of the Godhead in one place at one time. God the Son was in the water. God the Father spoke from heaven. God the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove. 3 separate persons in one place at one time. John tells us in his first epistle that there are 3 that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. They are one, yes, yet separate. You see, a husband and a wife are one. They don't have the same body. Does that mean if the husband and wife are one that if the wife gets sick, the husband can take the medicine and the wife will get well? The martyr Stephen looked up into heaven and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Did he see Jesus standing beside of himself? Again, Paul said in the first chapter of Hebrews that Jesus sat down beside the majesty on high. When Jesus ascended, did he sit down beside of himself? Now, we may not comprehend it, we may not understand it, but the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are 3 separate persons, and yet at the same time, they are one. Remember, according to Matthew, baptism was to be done in the names of all 3 members of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If we are being misled by teaching this, who is the one who misleads us? Jesus is the one who misleads us. He's the one who commanded it to be done. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the power of the gospel and the preaching of the gospel and the plan of the gospel and now the promises of the gospel. According to Acts 2:38, Peter said at the conclusion of that gospel sermon, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." If a policeman stops you and says, "Halt, in the name of the law," that means by the authority of the law. So when Peter says, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ," that's the same as telling us to do it by the authority of Jesus Christ. When we obey the command, then we are baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Here were two tremendous promises given upon the reception of the gospel. Jesus said to go and preach. He said, first of all, your sins will be remitted. Ladies and gentlemen, that means that when you believe the gospel and are obedient to the plan of the Lord as your Savior, you are not responsible for any sins you have ever committed. I told a man that one time, and he said, "You know, that sounds like a pretty good deal." I told him, not only is that a good deal, that's the best deal you will ever receive. You will never have a better deal than that. You will have your sins remitted, and you're not responsible for anything. People write to me almost every week and tell me that baptism is not for the remission of sins. Well, when people asked Peter what to do, he said repentance and baptism was for the remission of sins. People tell me that Peter didn't mean that. If he didn't mean it, why did he say it? People tell me every week that you are saved before you're baptized. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." People tell me that Jesus didn't mean that. If Jesus did not mean that, why did he try to confuse me by saying it? I believe the Bible, the whole Bible, and not a Bible full of holes. What the Lord and Peter said is a promise. No wonder he said for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Not only do we receive the forgiveness of sins, but another gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what is the gift of the Holy Spirit? The Bible is its own best interpreter. In the next chapter, Peter would give the terms of pardon the same way in slightly different words. He said, "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that so there may come seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord." When you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, you receive seasons of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. You never get this season of refreshing from the presence of the Lord until you have obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the season of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, is given when we obey what the Lord said. The power of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, the plan of the gospel, the promises of the gospel, and now the practice of the gospel. The apostle Paul or John said, "He that saith he knoweth him ought himself also to walk as he walked." It was Paul who said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." These are days when people like to imitate other people. They like to imitate their sports heroes. We're all that way. I used to have heroes when I was a teenager. My heroes were John Dillinger and also Jesse James and people like that. People like to imitate other people, real and unreal. I have different heroes now. People like to imitate other people by their haircuts, their dress, or whatever. Why not try to imitate Jesus Christ? Imitating Jesus is the best imitation of all. I remember one time a far-out remark someone made to me. "It is men like you and George Washington that have kept this country from falling apart." Another one likened to it was a child who told his mother that I was the man who talked like Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, no one knows better than I what a poor imitation of Jesus I am. But we need to try to imitate him. We need to remind people of Jesus. Jesus wants us to live the gospel. He wants us to practice the gospel. Nothing is more important to them than what Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's a sweet old story translated for man, but writ in the long, long ago. The gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of Christ and his mission below. Men read and admire the gospel of Christ, with his story so loving and true. But what do they say and what do they think of the gospel according to you? Unselfishness mirrors in every scene. Love blossoms on every sod. And back from its vision the heart comes to tell the wonderful goodness of God. You are writing a letter each day to man. Take care that the writing is true. It's the only gospel that some men will read, the gospel according to you. But wait, ladies and gentlemen, we have one more item to add to the power of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, the plan of the gospel, the promises of the gospel, and the practice of the gospel, and that is the praise of the gospel. The early church met every first day of the week to praise the Lord. The Bible says that on the first day of the week they were gathered together to break bread. It doesn't say they were gathered together to sing hymns. It doesn't say they were gathered together to pray. It doesn't say they were gathered together for music. Church at Troas met on the first day of the week, and they met for the purpose of breaking bread. They didn't even come together for the purpose of hearing the Apostle Paul that day. It was for the purpose of the breaking of bread and praising God. We know that the church at Jerusalem met on the first day of the week because the church began on Sunday, which was the day of Pentecost. Not only that, but we know that the church at Corinth met on the first day of the week, because Paul said to them to lay by them in store on the first day of the week when they took a special offering. We know that the churches in Galatia met on the first day of the week because Paul told the Corinthians that I have given them the same order for the churches in Galatia regarding that special collection. Therefore, we know that the church in Iconium met on the first day of the week. The church at Lystra met on the first day of the week. The church at Derbe met on the first day of the week. The church at Antioch met on the first day of the week. The early congregations that were under apostolic oversight met on the first day of the week to praise God, and the purpose of their meeting was to observe the Lord's Supper. Sunday is the greatest day of the week because it is the Lord's Day. The greatest meeting, the greatest convention, the greatest assembly during the week is the meeting of the saints on the Lord's Day, because that is a meeting of the Lord's people. Think of it. The Lord's people meeting on the Lord's Day, eating the Lord's Supper, is the greatest meeting on earth this side of heaven. Why do we attend services on the Lord's Day? Is it for the purpose of observing the Lord's Supper? Some have relegated this feast to the back room for those who might want to observe it. Why do you attend? Are you looking for entertainment? You will find plenty of it in skits and such travesties as the gospel according to various television programs. Many times the Church of Christ and/or Christian Church can boast of the best brass band in town. Are you looking for a service where the sermon leads the saints to feel indifferent about doctrinal matters and leads the sinners to feel comfortable? Such preaching as that will not keep you out of hell, and it will not keep the hell out of you. Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." How important the gospel must be when we consider the power of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, the plan of the gospel, the promises of the gospel, the practice of the gospel, and the praise of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.